Welcome to today's Boost Podcast with me, Graham Farmer. And I'm back after a half-term week last week. Spent a week with my daughter, a great time. And didn't really have put a podcast out. I enjoyed the last couple. One with Lydia was incredible, good fun. Spoke so much about PR, which is amazing. And if you've not checked it out and you need to know more about press and PR, then go and listen to that. And thanks to Andy Ish for taking over the podcast for a few to do the round table with summarised events. That was really good. So we're back today with another podcast, and today I speak to the guys from JBM Events. In only 1 year, Jorge and Brian's JBM Events have established themselves as one of the country's foremost party promoters and draw on over 20 years of experience of hosting events. Last year alone, they booked 328 artists, hosted 64 events, had 53,298 attendees, held music shows and festivals in 7 different UK cities, was nominated as Best Large Club Promoter in Skiddle's 18th Birthday Awards, and in 2020 the company's festival count exceeds 20, with a hope to attract over 120,000 attendees this year alone, not to mention 150 music shows across the country. I sat down with them a couple of weeks ago to chat about all their events. We are actually working with them from a data transmission point of view on Green Velvet coming to Milton Keynes. Obviously, that's where we're based. So, Green Velvet and Do Not Sleep are coming to the city. Data transmission just announced today. We're taking over room 2. I'm bringing some of our favourite local heroes. So I sat down with Brian and Jorge to chat about it. So, hey guys, how are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks for joining me on the podcast. It's great to have you on, and can't wait to hear more about it, basically.
It's a pleasure, mate. Thanks for having us on.
So let's start at the start. Let's talk about who you are, where you come from, how you got to where you are now, kind of like a comic book number one, episode one on you and your life.
Bloody hell. Well, I'm Brian Murphy. I run JBM Music with George Meehan. I've been in the industry for 11 years now, maybe 12 years, I've lost count. Started off by, I went to college, studied music business and production, started doing a club night, started DJing, started a radio show, and then just progressed from there.
Where was your radio show on?
Unity Radio.
Oh, cool.
And then just pretty much done tons and tons and tons of events and just built my way up. And then we had a job. I worked at the Victoria Warehouse for a few years, left there, and then that's where I also met George.
Yeah.
And we started JBM Music, and now 12 months on, we are here today with JBM Music.
That's mental. And so how did you start in events? Did you decide to start putting them on because you were doing something else, or was it just natural progression?
The first event I did, it was my 18th birthday, so we kind of put on a bit of a night in Manchester, and then
really, how did that go?
I was terrible. So we just did a bit of a party in town, and then just progressed from there, doing tons of smaller events, and then, you know, as they go, ups and downs, small ones, big ones, back to small ones, and then, you know, been here, there, and everywhere.
Just in Manchester, or are you? Because I know you now you're kind of countrywide, I guess.
Yeah, at the minute we're doing events all over the place, but at the early days it was just in Manchester. Yeah.
So let's talk about what you're up to now. Obviously, we're going to be working together on this big Do Not Sleep party, Milton Keynes, which we're massively excited about. But you've got a whole series coming up, which is crazy.
Yeah. So. Obviously, we're about a year in now to JBM. Last year, we had the opportunity to take on a lot of big stuff, but we didn't want to take loads and loads and loads on and then sort of erupt before it got good. So this year, we've sort of, back end of last year, we stepped back, made a bit of a game plan for this year. And we've got, yeah, it's sort of coming to fruition now. So we've got some really big key shows. Manchester's like our stronghold, really, but we're quickly expanding out now. Next year, we've got events in like 7 or 8 different cities, some massive festivals all up and down the UK. So it's just like broadening our horizons now into this year. There's probably just under 100 shows in the diary now for this year. And already we've stopped, like, we're already working on 2021 now. So everything for this year is kind of booked in and set in stone. So we're just, like, working our way through what we've got now in front of us.
How do you, like, let's talk about how you go about building that kind of plan. I know lots of people in this podcast listen because they're the next generation and they want to learn about how to do events and they want to learn about doing multiple events. How does that, let's talk about how that runs and how that kind of builds out. Do you start with brands or do you start with, how do you start building up a multiple event business?
Yeah, so for us, we've got a lot of experience in, you know, small shows, 400, 500, 600, 700 capacity. But then again, we've got the other end, we've got experience in like big shows, like 3, 4, 5,000 capacity. So it was about back end of that last year, we sort of looked at talent we wanted to be working with, looked at different brands, looked at partners like Do Not Sleep The Boat, people like that, Garage Nation, Pure Garage, stuff like that, like big brands who we wanted to work closer with. And then obviously we have our own concepts, our own brands that we're developing and doing stuff with as well. So it's kind of the perfect mix of both, really. We're pushing established brands and we're also building up our own new brands and festivals at the same time.
Yeah, we're not channeling ourselves into one sound as well, so that probably opens a lot of doors in terms of audiences and markets, because obviously, like within Manchester, one week we could have, like this year we'd do the Craig David Festival and on the same day we've got a reggae festival, but obviously if it was the same audience you wouldn't be able to do the two.
Yes.
And with our different teams and partners, that also opens up doors where we can go and do a show in Milton Keynes, we can go and do a show in Hastings, London, Manchester, Newcastle over the same week. I think the main thing is it is the different sounds that is working for us, because we're doing really well in reggae, to house, to techno, to the 90s dance music, to the retro stuff. It's literally across the board, and I think that's why we're able to do so many shows all over the place.
Is that because you're fans of that music, or you're just picking ones that you know that are gonna those towns?
We are fans of the music, but yeah, we have looked at the different markets. Like, we've tried stuff, like stuff won't work everywhere, and it's just trial and error. We've done big night shows in Manchester, put the same show up in Glasgow, and then it's not worked. So it's just looking where that audience is.
Do you try smaller shows first and then see if that kind of works and then try bigger, or is it just you can tell by a marketplace and an audience?
I think the smaller shows are all very level. So it's kind of like I'm gonna go see this ex DJ and he's worth 500, 600 or whatever. Whereas the bigger you can get a little bit more creative, they'll be a bit more brand led. So our smaller shows now are based on like artist tours. Like, we've got 3 dates on Low Steppers upcoming tours. We've got like 10 or 12 techno shows in Manchester this quarter. So we've got like, they're all like big artist led, the smaller stuff. Whereas the big ones are big brand led shows. You can go to town on the production and all the rest of it. So it's kind of, we don't sort of try a small one and then lead it into a bigger one that much, because we know which product is going to do X amount of tickets or whatever, if it's a small show or if it's a big one.
Yeah, we've already gathered that experience on the smaller stuff already for years of practice and trial. But I think if you wasn't coming and you was to start as a promoter, then I'd definitely start off small and try and build a brand and build a loyal fan base, because that's what's going to get you to those larger capacity events. Once you start adding the talent in, then it'll become easier.
Yeah, I think too many people are just trying to book the talent, and then, which is difficult in the bigger cities because there are exclusivities, I guess, and build it instead of building up from the bottom, you know.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, as long as long-standing relationships, you know, we've got long-standing relationships with select artists. So you know, for our city, Warehouse Project, but a lot of people say, oh, I can't sort of book anything, but you know, we're the proof in the pudding that there's so much out there. Think outside the box, and I think that puts a lot of people off as well. It's like, oh, there's so many different stuff. Whereas if you actually take a minute to step back, peel back the layers and have a look at what else is going on, and if you immerse yourself in the genre or the music industry as a whole, then you can see there's so much different opportunities. It's just about thinking sort of outside the box, not just going after the obvious stuff.
I love they do reggae as well. That's really interesting. How did that come about?
Oh,
I think we're both secretly big reggae music fans.
Oh yeah, cool.
Yeah, it was kind of like we were sat in the office and I was like, really, really, really want to do a reggae festival. And then we just put one up and it went absolutely mental, like in tickets, no line for anything. And it was like, hang on a minute, this has got legs. And then we've just sort of like built it up from there. So we've got Milton Keynes Reggae Festival, Hastings Reggae Festival, Manchester Reggae Festival. So we've got like Southeast Coast, Midlands-ish.
Yeah. Yeah,
and then we've got Manchester, and you know the lineups are massive. We've got like Shaggy, Tuts and the Mitals, David Rodigan. We've just confirmed a massive, massive headline, one of the biggest names in reggae from Manchester. So that's going to be going out over the next few weeks. So it's just, yeah, we just sort of, I think we're both secretly reggae fans. We just wanted to just give it a whirl and just put our take on it, really, and then just give it a go. And thankfully, they've been really good. And
yeah,
Milton Keynes is looking to like 7,000-8,000 capacity in one of our biggest shows. Really,
where are you doing in Milton Keynes?
Campbell Park.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
that's
really yes. Cool. That's on August 15th, and we're already on 3,300 tickets for that.
That's
and we announced the lineup 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, 2 weeks. So it's just gone nuts.
Yeah,
I think there is a massive love for reggae in the UK. And I think it was crying out for, you know, you've got like Boomtowns and stuff like that. Those sort of festivals which do cater for the reggae genre, but we just wanted to do something which is totally all about reggae. And I think we just hit a bit of an open gap when we put ours up. So it's all going so far so good with them ones.
Yeah, that's really cool. What things do you, if these people are trying to start these big event series, what are the biggest pitfalls and what are the biggest struggles you've had?
The exclusivity.
How long have you got?
Certainly the exclusivity on artists within cities, because it's very tough, especially in Manchester, to get those big names which are going to sell the tickets for you.
Is that from building up relationships with booking agents over a longer period of time and then opening
That's the issue. If you wanted to go straight in and do a big event with some big talent, if you haven't got that relationship, straight just going to say no.
Yeah.
We've noticed that even when we left and we set up JVM, like people's like, I don't know what JVM is yet. And it's like, but now the agents that we were going to last year when we set it up are coming to us and saying, oh, do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? What else are you doing? I'm seeing your name here, there and everywhere. So it's getting easier and easier, but it is a pitfall at the start when you contact that person and you go, I don't know who you are. So, you know, that's a big issue when it comes to booking those bigger talent.
Is that just a case of knocking down continuously, just trying smaller parties and knocking down doors as you're doing them more and more?
Building them up from the ground upwards, like you have to start off small, you know, like if you're doing like a 300 capacity venue or 400, then just, you know, go have a look at who's sort of championing that sound. Like there's so many different people for those smaller events who you can book and who people do want to go and see, and they get missed off massive lineups of festivals and all the rest of it. So I think it's a case of building your name up in that industry and then just like immersing yourself in it, like get yourself out there, go to nights, go to AD, go and meet people, go to conferences. Like if you want to do it, then just literally go and immerse yourself in it. Don't just sit back from your laptop and think, oh, I'll be able to start running massive shows in the next year, because you need to have, you know, first name terms with big agents, stuff like that. So you've got to go and meet people. You've got to make the effort with people and get in front of them.
Yeah, I'd definitely say that's a huge factor of it. You need to be out there. It's a 24-hour day job.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree. I'm in the similar saying. It's, yeah, I am in 24 hours at the moment. It's ridiculous, but it's good fun.
Yeah, that's it. It's a good thing.
Let's chat about promoting in general. Lots of young aspiring promoters. What are your biggest tips?
Probably that one that I've just gone back on.
Yeah.
Like, immerse yourself in it. Like, before you're going to put on your own event, go out, speak to your local promoters. Like, see what they're doing, what they're coming, like, what they've got coming up. Go and just, you know, network, speak to people, go and speak to agents. Just don't sit from your laptop and think that it's all going to be rosy.
Yeah, by posting a post on Facebook, you're not going to get
any. It's literally so hard at the best of times. So, I think getting yourself out there as much as possible and going to speak into people and finding out what everyone's up to, and networking is like a massive one for me. It's just going and just making sure everyone knows who you are, what you're doing, and all the rest of it. And then it should flow naturally then. And then just obviously work hard on your parties, pick the right lineups, do your research. Don't just like throw a night because you want to throw a night for your mates. Like, that's the wrong reasons to do it. Not saying that don't do it. Like, you know, if you want to throw a party for your mates and do that sort of thing, then that's all it will be. But if you want to be serious about it, then go do your research. Don't just jump into it, because you can lose so much money so quickly in this industry. So just take your time, really. Baby steps, not massive footsteps.
I see a lot of promoters trying to do it. It's just one person and they're trying to do it on their own. And I'm guessing you guys have got more than just you two. It's, there's a team, and there's always been a team. And I think, is that important for you?
When I done my first night, there was five of us who done it together. And it was like, this was like 10 years ago. There was five of us. So it was like everyone had their own set little role. I think trying to do it all on your own is quite high pressure now. Small parties, not so much. Maybe you'd be able to do it. But I think having friends around you, people who can help you out, definitely it's needed. You know, around our team, we've got so many different people who help us, and team members, full-time staff. So it's, ours is a massive operation now. So it's, yeah, it's a lot bigger. So I'd say try and get as much help you can, really.
And that's interesting, defining roles. Did you, so you, when there was only five, you actually split it up into, you've got to do this, I'm on this, you're doing that.
Well, I didn't like the bookings. Like, one guy would do the Facebook stuff. Back then it was like flyering and postering was like 90% of it. Facebook had started coming out. So yeah, we all had our tasks.
Who was out in the cold doing the flyering at 5 a.m. on the, and doing the, putting the street posters up?
The big guy. So he would do it, yeah. But yeah, we'd all like cross over, but it certainly helps the stress. And it was more fun as well when you do it with other people. I don't think it'd be half as fun doing it on your own, would it?
No, of course not.
It just turned into so much high pressure. And then at the same time, you can get so much enjoyment out of this industry and this job. It doesn't have to be so serious all the time.
I bet there's always a joy when you stand on a stage and there's a full house and you've kind of like, I've created this and I've...
Everyone's in and yeah, all the tickets have come through and the pressure's off a little bit. And there's definitely a good feeling about stuff like that.
Does that, so, and then let's talk about Do Not Sleep. Obviously we're working with you on it from a data transmission point of view. I'm excited about having brands like that, Milton Keynes. Milton Keynes is an area that's difficult, and we have very little clubbing, and it's getting better and better. So firstly, that's great that you're bringing it here. And let's just talk about the party a little bit.
Yeah, so Do Not Sleep, it's an IB for brand. On the show on the Easter Sunday, we've got Green Velvet, Richie Ahmed, Darius Sarossian, Seb Zito, and Lost on Mars. That is in the ice rink at the MK Arena, Planet Ice.
That it's crazy that you could turn an ice rink into an arena. Is that crazy hard work, or does it come together quite easily?
It's a lot of work because on the Saturday or the Sunday, there is a ice hockey game literally straight after or straight before ours. So we have to turn it all around straight back to a normal ice rink again. Production goes in, the flooring goes in, all the bars, everything we put in there, and everything's got to come out within nine hours. Yeah, crazy. 8 hours, something like that. So that's the task itself.
I think we should try and get a time-lapse video, you know, like... ice rink.
It's a club to ice rink, yeah.
Clubbing venue in X amount of hours, because that would actually be quite interesting for people to see, because I think when people come in, they're like, you know, is this actually an ice rink underneath me? Whereas if we got like a time lapse, you could see all the effort and stuff that goes on behind the scenes that people don't even realise. So
you should definitely do that. You should definitely do that. Put it up on some of the top seats of the rink or something, where you can just see the whole thing that's going on. You can just do it with a GoPro on a time lapse. It'd be quite cool.
Yeah, I think that would be quite cool to watch. And then that sort of shows the amount of work and stuff that goes into one of these shows, especially this turning an ice rink into a clubbing venue. It's no small feat, really.
Mm.
Do you have other venues that are like this that are not bespoke, essentially dance venues that you have to convert?
Well, we've just done a deal with a castle, and this has been our biggest issue yet. And due to fire regulations and fire escapes, we have to build a 400 foot ramp off the side of the castle to a 12 degree angle to allow disabled access. And this is a huge job that we've just had to undo for an event we're doing in May. I think that's probably the biggest one that we've come across now.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest task we've got in front of us outside of the ice rink. We do some shows at the skate park in Manchester, yeah, as well. So by day, it's a skate park, and we put a sound system, bars, toilets, everything in, and sort of work around what the skate park has to offer. That's quite cool as well.
Yeah, that must be cool.
Yeah,
I guess that's a bit easier because it's got a hard floor anyway, but obviously not ice, I guess.
Yeah, you're digging up walls and stuff. It's just working around what you've got and making the best of space. But certainly the castle series that we've got coming up, which
should be announcing
over the next few weeks, which I'm sure you'll see, is definitely going to be an interesting one, just because it's a medieval castle ruins. It's listed. You have to speak to the historic society to do anything. So it's like lots of different hoops. But I think the end product for that will be like a spectacle, because the show that we've got and the artists and concept is just like really, really cool. So it's going to be worth it in the end.
That's definitely must be the fun part, is finding these interesting venues.
Yeah, that's it. It's just like weeks on Google Maps tracing up and down. Yeah. Okay. Just looking and jumping on the phone, emailing people, seeing what's possible. So it's good that something like this is happening, because there's so many same stuff going on. So yeah, we're just think of different concepts, think of different ideas. What will, we're clubbers as well. So it's, what would we want to see? What would we want to go to? What would we spend hard earned money on going to see? So it's like thinking outside the box. And I think the castle show definitely is going to tick a huge box for that, because it's just so different. It's not massive capacity. It's like 2,300 capacity, so it's quite, it's mid-sized really, and the lineup's going to be amazing. So
does that push the ticket price up? If you've got to build up ramps and things, or does it allow less for artist budgets? Or
yeah, it has slightly, but cut back on like a little. The talent will cut back slightly on to compensate, so that it's not going to cost the world for the public to come to, really.
Cool. Well, thank you for pushing the boundaries, and thank you for speaking to me today. It's been good fun, and I'll see you in April.
Perfect. See you in April.
Cheers, man. See you soon. Bye.